You're listening to Fakeologist's Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
I'm in.
Oh. Hi, guys. It's July 18th, 2017. I'm here in the live stream with Tom Delpra.
Ding.
Oh, that's good audio.
Ding. You're nearly listening. Yeah, I do apologize. What a silly entrance. The others are still in room 11.
I know. Well, you were the brave one. You came right over. And there's a whole bunch of guys in room 11. They don't want to come over. Oh, Napoleon just jumped in. Hey, Napoleon.
Good afternoon, Alberto.
Thank you. And you were wondering if you could call me directly. You can call direct from person to person here on the Discord. If you're a friend only, apparently, you have to friend the person.
Ah, that's right. I wasn't sure. I didn't know. So there you go. Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your hat is true. You're very confident.
Are you going to sing the whole song?
Yeah. Well, I think that was the Golden Girls. I'm unsure. I had a crazy upbringing.
Oh, you had a fancy for the old bags, eh?
Well, Estelle Getty's tactlessness always appealed to me at the age of 10, you know.
Do you do cleaning in an old people's home then now?
No, mate, I'm at Manchester University.
Yeah, they're safe, yeah. No, it's fine. Just wondered. Just checking.
They put me in the ignorance department, I'm afraid. I'm in the medical building.
James disappeared, yeah.
Don't you try. Defect off? Wow, that's not good.
Defect off, yeah.
Oh. Oh, I didn't mean to blow up the party, you know. I just like to get this recorded, but, you know, I guess some people don't want to be recorded.
I think James might have been partially doing something as well. Just sort of pops in. I'm unsure. So he did, but he did just sort of pop in just before you pops in.
Okay. So Delfect off. That's good. Well, we got a good group here. Room 11 just scattered. I have that, I guess I have that effect on people.
No. Do you know where it is, Ab? It's probably just people get into a conversation or they just, they're just passing by and they don't really want to commit.
Yeah.
And then, you know me, I don't mind committing to anything because I've got nothing
good.
To lose.
You're good for a yap.
Yeah, and I'll try my best.
Or B.
Excuse me?
And you're right. And they went off. Yeah.
Yeah, well.
I'm joking. I'm trying to be funny, and I'm not being funny at all, and I'm being crude. I do apologize. I haven't got anything constructive to add to this at the moment.
Right. You could be right, though. That's the sad part.
Let's not linger on that negative thought. I'm sure Dell is not, you know, he's come to your site, and he's been in one of your rooms chatting, so I'm sure he can't. No, he just probably just got something to do. He's bottling wine. He hasn't got time to be online. And the same with
James.
I'm quite lyrical. Same with James, I'm sure. He was perhaps doing something else. I heard it was very windy at one point. I don't know what he's doing, if he's doing something in a wind tunnel or something.
But, I think James is a spy and or Condor Man, one or the other.
Yeah. Could be.
So what do you think about that little link that Sean was putting in about that William Stevenson, the spy Did you stay in here, Vab?
No, I didn't click it. What you can imagine is
the beginning of the spy game needed a start. So obviously you're going to pick someone who's going to be able to mold. And this gentleman, he didn't come forward. He was always interested in stuff like this. At the turn of the century, he identified a criminal who'd robbed a bank and killed someone in Louisiana, I think.
Yeah.
This person had a pen filled with nitroglycerine, and that's what caught his interest. Then he became sort of a spy plane. You know, he used to fly in and out of areas. William Stevenson. Then he was the one that talked America into going into World War II. And he finished his career by writing a book in 1999 about spies. He's the one that actually introduced the whole spy revolution. He's the real James Bond. And it just shows you how easy it is to trick people into thinking. Yes.
Oh, I used to listen to somebody on Fetzer, and I can't remember his name right now. This is going back years now. I can't believe it's years since I've been listening to Fetzer. But there was a guy that came on all the time who was doing discussions about Ian Fleming and spies, and he was giving model. He was saying who Ian Fleming was modeling.
He was saying it was Bauman, wasn't it? It was Bauman.
I don't remember. I cannot remember who it was.
Nevertheless, compelling. But we can see the meme.
He was going on about James Bond, though. Yeah, he would go on about it. I can't remember what the guy's name is. He was on Fetzer at least five times.
Yeah, I know you mean.
You remember that?
Yeah, no, I've listened to him myself. You see, I think the lies that a lot of these people tell so that one lodge can probably spy on another, just because it is a game at the top level.
But I don't think they're spying at each other.
No, they're not. Yeah, it's at the top level, it's a game.
It's a misdirection about what the intelligence agencies actually do.
Yeah.
They only do what they do in the movies. They only spy in the movies, but in reality, they're culture creators.
Yes. Create fear and tension.
We see that with the films. They're not spying on anybody. They work together.
Just like all the wars that were organized before.
Yeah.
You know, at least in 100 years before that. So you can see where this actually takes its hold in literary as a timepiece. Because the first thing you see is a court case where evidence gets put forward about someone having a pen with nitroglycerin. And that's 50 years before the first James Bond. So then we get a 50 year cycle, 50 years of bombardment, so space, whatever it may be, and then boom. Well, we're there now. Only read about it for 50 years. Same with the spies. There's even theories of different areas in Britain where they say they caught a monkey and they thought it was a spy. And, you know, they hung it, and this is 200 years ago. So the actual word spy was introduced. You know what I'm saying there, Tom? Monkey angers, that's a Hartlepool. There's weird things in this country.
And, you know, be careful what you say. You know, that was during the wartime. That was the wartime experience. Spies, yeah. The spy who loved me. You know, the spy who came in from the cold. And then we had the big spy case with the Russian thing during the Cold War of the blunt.
And then sex it up with the Profumo scandal.
Bit of Profumo.
With women involved. And then you include the 39 steps. So now you've got... just before the war, you know, people, you know. But nevertheless, this William Stevenson, he set up the OSS and then handed it over to the people who took over the OSS. He set up everything before. It's crackers. And that's an English term there. It really is crackers.
You know that as you circle in on that EastEnders, which is a popular soap opera in the UK, sorry to bore anyone with it, but... the snaking Thames, there's two S's, and like you could call the O of the, there's OSS there. Now you mention it.
Hey, yeah. I won't put it past that.
Soap opera. That intro, as it circles out, I've shown that a few times. I've said, look, this is shown to us every night. It gets in your brain. There's the two S's, look for an O now. It's perhaps OSS.
I think it makes sense. I mean, Lewis Carroll, what's Lewis Carroll? Let's say 11-3. So there you go. You know, that's another 113. Call that 33, can't you? It all depends I think every avenue is covered. If you want to go down the literary reform, you can find all the answers there for whatever conspiracy you're in now. For instance, Tom, did you know that it was 30 years? If you go 30 years from when Back to the Future come out until they discovered the flat Earth clock in the beginning of Back to the Future, do you know where the halfway point is?
Oh.
911.
Oh, 9/11. Why do you call it 911?
Just because it's the easiest thing to call it. I just treat it like a film now.
Yeah.
Treat it like a film.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. This is why it's hard. It's hard sometimes.
I don't get too deep into the conspiracy candy of Back to the Future. I haven't even watched the movie.
It's funny because it's just one of them films that's been emblazoned in your brain over the years. If you're a young, you know, you're a young kid.
I want to know if Michael J. Fox has cured Parkinson's yet, or if he's still shaking away.
Well, he admitted to pretending, have it, didn't he?
Did he?
He had to fake it on his new show that he was doing. He said, sometimes I don't shake, so I have to pretend to fake. Fake it.
Oh, that's a bit clever.
Yeah, there's a couple of tells. Yeah, and he couldn't. And he said if he really had it, he wouldn't be able to touch his nose, and then he touched his nose.
He never missed a trick.
Yeah, that
is. I mean, who's going to agree to do that now, Michael? Will you agree to be sick for the rest of your life in the public eye and you know, pretend you've got this horrible, unpleasant disease? It's for the good of man, and it'll help everyone, and you'll get paid a lot of money. Happy with that? And he's gone for it. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, but he is an actor, so it's not really that difficult for him, is it?
In your head, how would you weigh that up? Would that be like an ethical thing to do? Pretend you're ill?
Well, he is making millions of dollars for Parkinson's, whereas before probably didn't have any major fundraisers.
Which is the best. You could say he's an absolute champion of it, and he's a hero for doing it then.
Yeah. It is a real thing. It really afflicts lots of people. It's probably a disease caused by the chemical industry, that they probably have something in our lives that is poisoning us and making us lose our nervous systems. You got to be sure of that, I think.
So maybe they're guilty. Yeah, you've got to do this for us, Michael. This will bring a whole load of money for, you know, we feel bad about this.
Well, I've got one for you.
Yeah.
Oh, no, go, sorry, Ab. No, this is just an observation. If you want to look at, if you can find a picture of Jodie Foster at 14 and Michael J. Fox at 14, there's not much difference. It's the same as that Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus thing. I'm not putting anything down to it apart from the fact that they look the same. I think they're both Canadians as well. So maybe they're from the same family. Just a coincidence. There you go. But yeah, literally, they look the same.
I think a lot of these people come from the same kind of hatchery.
Me too.
And I don't think a hatchery is really that big of a stretch. We know that people are making babies all the time in the lab. Regular people are making them.
Well, no, I think more of a family.
Eye color. Well, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Maybe there's a line of royalty or blue bloods or perfect-looking people. Yeah, it's not far off. I don't have a problem with that concept. It's not a big deal. It's not hard. I don't think it's any magical science. You put an egg and a sperm together and they get together and make zygotes and you just plop them into willing surrogates. Probably pay a surrogate in India $5,000 or anywhere. Take 9 months off, live in the Queen's Castle there and pop them out.
Oh, wow. That's
live brilliant. Like royalty for a year.
You got to use that as a bumper. That is a cracking bumper, that.
Yeah. There's lots of possibilities, but it is odd that so many of these actors look similar. I don't think they're the same people at all. I don't go down the Dallas Gold Bug, but I'm open to the fact they've been hatching these people. They're not random, found on the street.
I think it's like you say, there needs to be a level of intrigue when you look at them. And a lot of the time, you know, if they are, what's the word, hormone challenge, whichever way, they're going to make them look weird, so maybe that's why a lot of these people stick out. I mean, I have no idea why Leonardo DiCaprio is famous. I have no idea at all. But he does look weird, so maybe that's it.
He did look like another person in that last video I put up. I can't remember who he looks like, but...
They're hatching a load of freaks. I mean, there's loads of you get a certain look, which is appealing, but there's lots of different actors and different looks. Yeah, they don't all look the same to me.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They could just look similar. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Well, that's the same thing.
They go for a certain look, and they're just randomly out in the population. You know, there are people that walk through malls and in public places and spot people and give them cards and get them into modeling agencies. That's all easy to do.
Yeah,
well, that's how I became famous.
Yeah.
I was listening to Alan Watt talking about the mortarboards on the heads of graduating students, and of course,
all these new Masons
carrying the hod, carrying the bricks up for the, you know, building society for the Masons, you know, in a way. Yeah. That's exactly what
different
it is.
And then the tassel on the top. They get their degree.
Which is builders for, yeah, builders for the great construction of society.
The greater good. Yeah, the greater good, yeah.
Yeah, it works, isn't it? It's clever. It's a good system.
Well, I just posted Eric Dubé's education thing, man. I don't care what you think about Eric Dubé, flat earth, round earth, or if he's transgender. He assembles some great quotes from different people and does some very good reads. He reads very well into the microphone, and boy, the way he collates and puts it together, I was impressed with that last thing on education. Were you able to listen to that, either of you?
There's many someone whose intention was perhaps to misguide people, who is incredibly eloquent, and one could enjoy their presentations. I mean, let's be clear about that. But I didn't see the particular last one, but I meant to, because I think O'Hanahan posted it. Is that right? And about the left brain and the right brain.
Well, that was just...
I'll take it in. Yeah.
Well, I just listen to it.
I don't
watch any of these YouTubes. I just listen to them. So yeah, I think there's a picture of a colorful brain on it or something.
That's the one. That's just a reference. I'll go back and listen to it.
It was really good.
Clarity and yeah, it's a good talker, isn't it? Yeah.
We just talk about the education system and just how it evolved. It was pretty amazing that America resisted the education system for a long time. First, you only had to go for a couple of years, and then they kept widening it. Now you go from 3 to 26. they got you for 20 years now if you go the full Monty.
Yeah, and you go out with your hod carriers, your brick carrying hat.
Yeah.
Like an absolute slave.
Well, like I say, it's the only bookies that want you to win. The university wants you to pass and come back and pay that debt.
Yeah, I don't think it's so much about the money, though. I don't think it's ever about the money.
No, it never is, but there's got to be an incentive for the people that are involved in it at the lower levels, is what I mean.
It's just the whole system works like that, doesn't it? They when they leave university, they are absolutely determined to make good in their lives, but they've been, you know, trained to follow a certain pattern. Go with the system. Go with the machine.
Did you go uni, Tom?
I did go through the whole A-levels thing, but I didn't take it seriously in the end. I dropped out at A-level at sort of...
How about you, Dan?
No, mate. I did art college for 2 years, pretty much.
Yeah, I couldn't try. I tried a few times. I couldn't get through. I just was too distracted. I just didn't like what I was learning, and I didn't see an end. I didn't see an end, so I just bailed.
Yeah.
I said I'm going to be a rock star and got, you know, completely distracted.
Yeah. We made it, didn't you?
Did you really think you were going to be a rock star, though? Seriously? Did you really think you could make a living at it?
Well, that's what I said at the time. I'm a complete idiot. Yeah. I mean, I said, you know, my whole life, you know, including last week. But, no,
Well, you know, you could probably sing, but I'm just curious if you really had that in your mind for a while. Maybe you were close.
Because I said, yeah, we're going to be in a band and we're going to make it. We're going to stick together as friends. Well, I had these really close friends from school, two of them particularly. And we were in this band, so we'd been these best friends at school. So I said, well, we can stay together and do something really exciting and interesting if we got in a successful band.
Yeah.
I was 15, 16, and I was going to go for it. Because I thought, yeah, my philosophy was you can achieve anything in life if you're determined enough and willing to work for it. And I was, you know, super fit and I was quite intelligent and I just thought, we can do this. I knew we can do it.
Like today,
can you imagine
say you were successful and now you're 50, would you still want to do it? Just say you were Roger Daltrey, or would you want to be in the system like they are?
In the system, I mean, a highly successful
person.
You cannot deny that those people have had a very happy and successful lives. So
I can deny it. We don't know what goes on, really. I don't know. Maybe they're tortured souls. Maybe Pete is really a tortured soul. Maybe he didn't like what he saw when he got onto the other side. Who knows? I don't think they're necessarily happy at all. I think we think they're happy because we're told that's success, but I don't know. They yeah, don't okay. really come okay. clean on what's over on that other side.
Yeah, but I mean, when you, we know what's over on the other side, don't we, to an extent? We've found out a whole load of things that just most everybody else doesn't even come across. No, but don't you think?
I still have no idea because whatever we see is what we're shown.
I know people who have been top producers, BBC producers during Live Aid, for example. He wouldn't have a clue about what we're talking about. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wouldn't have a clue.
Are we enticed into thinking it's that way and really believe, like, you know, they play cricket on Sunday and nothing happens? Could it be that way?
I just don't know if it's that great a life. So.
I'm just going to both extremes, like you said there.
Multi-million.
You know, we don't know. They could be tortured souls, but nevertheless, could it that just
but
be
how
it?
Much money do you think they really do have? Because don't forget, when you make more, you burn through a lot more.
I know, but what gets me now is where they come from. Half of them come from fucking
military French. Military families, yeah.
So that's what makes me think they could just still be acting. It could just be this.
You've got to know that. I mean, I know people who are successful in the music business. You know, I know them as personal friends.
Yeah, and what do they say?
They're just normal people in the case of Kimberly. But there's always, I've spoken about this before, but he's normal and talented. And he's not like someone who's found out everything on the other side because he's been let into all these secrets. No, he sold a song for 10 million and, you know, he's not one of these. He's not the Rolling Stones or the Beatles, but these are exceptional, or U2, you know, but, they're just, you know, most people are just normal people within the system, not knowing, not realizing, you know.
Yeah.
And very, very happy to have made a success out of the music that they have and feel very lucky to have made a success out of playing music.
Okay.
So it's not all so, you know.
It's not bleak. Sounds happy.
Yeah. Well, you know. Right. Would you want to be successful? Like one of those top stars, though. No, I don't think that's not me. That wouldn't be. I couldn't do it. I can't do it. Not with my.
All right.
Now, I always felt like you'd be selling out to a lying system, a bullshit system, which is unfair fundamentally. What it felt like to me. But I'm, you know, in retrospect, I think, you know, I wish I'd just embraced it, maybe, and then I could have had a successful life.
Right. I've just had the weirdest thought. What if you had triplets and you were part of this, you know, big elite and, you know, all these triplets look like Bob Dylan? Then that would explain why Bob Dylan's been working so hard for so long. You can just keep throwing a new one in and just swapping them over, giving one a rest. There you go. There's your in vitro app. That's what you get with in vitro. You get triplets, multi-births. I don't know. I'm riffing. Sorry.
It's really inspiring to play your music in front of thousands of people. Do you know what I mean? It's a wonderful thing to do. So, you know,
you're 80 odd though.
Yeah.
You think?
Well, it's joyful. Yeah, still doing it when you're 80. Great. You know, just loving life and loving what they enjoy doing.
Yeah. And you get chicks, right? You got a lot of chicks, didn't you?
I mean,
I've gone through this with you before. I'm just joking.
Yeah, I mean, of course. Yeah. I mean, I had a wonderful love life. I feel very lucky, you know, happy about it all.
All right.
Yeah, no, it's
all
a good way of getting girls being in bands because it's
an aphrodisiac to them.
Good at football, you'd get girls as well. If you're good at music, you might get girls. People like talented, you know, seeing people being creative or whatever, or expressing themselves. Whatever you're good at, you'd get something. You'd get meet people. Yeah. Whatever you're into, you'll meet people. Like, if you're into alternative theories, you meet people like you guys, and it's a bit of a homoerotic environment.
It's been really dry for the females again. We were getting a few here and there. We had even had a real dry spell of new. We've had the Ice Metal Roof come by. She's interesting.
Yes.
Even though.
Yeah, and Kay and Vadir were in just yesterday. You put an audio up. So actually, you know, there's a.
Oh no! They've been on the scene for a while. I met new people that we've never heard.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Ice Water Roof. Yeah. From Sweden.
Yeah.
Dudette.
Not Roof.
But other than that, it's been pretty dry. Pretty dry for the new voices. Female voices, anyway.
Yeah, I hope Carol's all right. Shout out to Carol.
Who's Carol?
She never came by. Too bad.
Oh yeah, no, but she was around. She was there, wasn't she? I think I saw you message her or something, or just.
No, we never heard from her though. She's always too busy. Right. So
yeah, she's a writer.
I guess she doesn't want to come on. I think people are shy still.
That's fine. Yeah. No, I mean, I think I should be really. I always feel like half the time I think, oh no, what did I say? Oh no, that sounded so stupid.
This is an audio chat though. It's okay. That's where we can let our hair down. Just nonsense talk.
I let my hair right off. Can do it. I've let some of my hair right off already.
We need to get some man on. I want to get some more man on the street interviews. Who's got enough psychologist cojones to go out and do man on the street interviews?
Just out of interest,
I would like to do that. I was thinking of buying a GoPro body cam. Just strap it on your body. And just go out and talk. It's not as obtrusive as a big camera where you stick in someone's face. You just have it strapped to your body and you start talking to people. I was thinking about getting one of those and just go up to people on, put up a sandwich board on the sidewalk and say, if you want to talk about this.
Yeah. Or that's just.
But I've got a better one for you. Just walk around and meet
you. Sellotape it to your shoe.
No, just walk. Not far off, but do it near the museum. Anywhere just walk around the museum and you'll find idiots. It's brilliant. Okay. Just walk around. And then you say,
why a museum? Because of the dinosaurs?
The dinosaurs and all the different things they have. And yeah, the anachronisms all over the place. Everything's crazy.
It's not a really good place. Sorry.
What it is you're going into a big fish pond there, literally with a big fish gun. And shooting people. It's brilliant just to get there. And then once it goes live, they will say it again. Say, this is going to go live. Is that all right? And they go, yeah. Okay. And then you just put a little video after it. Point out the idiots.
Well, anyway, someone should do it. I like to see some more men on the street.
Yeah, well, give me some questions then. I might take you up on that one and go for it.
You don't even have to use a video. You can. I was thinking of either buying a GoPro. New GoPro is out, GoPro 5. You just strap it to your body. You get a little strap that you can get just for the GoPro. You just put it around your thing. So it's not obtrusive. So you can just start talking to people, press the record button, and away you go. The audio is pretty good. And just start doing an interview. Put it on YouTube or the only reason I wouldn't do that, though, is you probably have to get people's consent to put them on YouTube. But if you recorded them, the audio, with a good microphone, you probably wouldn't need their consent because it's not going to necessarily be, they won't be identifiable anyway.
I feel like one of Charlie's angels now.
Yeah, but okay. No, you know, you could tell them what you're doing. It's not, most people would go for it.
I'm going to walk around the museum with my phone and just laugh at people and say, I'll put them straight.
No, Abby's angels. Don't want to laugh at people.
Yes, let's do it, Denny. Let's go out and just let's do what Ab says.
It's fun. And we got Charlie's angels. That's what we are.
Yeah, no, Ab's Angels. No, I'll put the audio up. It doesn't have to be on YouTube. We'll put it on my channel. Away we go.
Ask on the street. Go up and say, you know, do you realize that the Holocaust are fucking lie? Nuclear bombs are shit.
No, don't go for those.
Straight for the Tokyo.
Yeah, that might not be wise. We'll have to we'll have to do some brainstorming on the audio chat and get a list of questions that we.
No, the first question is what are the odds on Joe Kennedy, all three of his sons being killed on camera? And they go, what? And you say, JFK, Robert F.K. and JFK Jr. being killed on camera. That's a good question.
Was he killed on camera?
All of them. All three of them.
I thought it was a plane crash.
It was filmed. It was filmed. It was piloting a bomb over, was it? Oh, it might have been Laurel Canyon or something. It's filmed and it blows up.
Oh, I never
so there you go,
that.
all three on camera dead. What are the odds?
Yeah, okay.
It's got to be quite a lot. I think
the questions, they got to be more general so people can actually answer them and not be just so puzzled.
Basically, do you think the Queen is a man?
Well, yeah, God.
That sort of stuff. No, I mean, I don't know, yeah, I mean, just what are the big issues that we should open people's minds to potentially?
You could ask him.
How are you going?
It's hard to back whatever you're going to add up because what you're going to be asking him, you need to have an answer for there.
9/11. So, you could. Well, what do we want to know about? What would be interesting to know people's reaction?
Well,
you know,
you got to be able to ask them questions at the beginning that they know the answers to, so they get confidence, and then you can just start rolling into some of the trickier ones. For instance, you just ask them about general knowledge, like, what do you think of smartphones? Do you think people are talking less because of them, or do you think they're dangerous? It's just general stuff that people might even know the answer to, and then you just kind of work into, you got to do a gradual boiling frog approach to the questioning. You know, what do you think of transgender? Because everyone knows about that now, and Caitlyn Jenner, and...
We're sort of aiming towards something. I'm thinking shock value.
Well, yeah, you got to ask him about OJ. OJ wouldn't work now because it's too old. Half the people wouldn't know what you're talking about. That's the problem with culture. Changes so fast over 20 years. It's ancient history. You know that kind of thing. Because you got to ask questions that.
At least in America. Well, at least in America, you can show them a picture of the British East India Company, flag, and say, this is that company flag. What do you think about that? And they look at it and go, it's pretty much the same as ours. You know, that's a good opener.
Yeah, but I don't know if that would mean anything to anybody, though.
No, but it's sort of a bit of a shock value there. Well, what I'm thinking is there's got to be something. There's got to be an opening question that you can give to someone, anyone, from the age of 15 to the age of, 60, 70. There needs to be something there.
Yeah, that's true.
There must be the question. There has to be. And it'll be the same question, just phrased differently over a generation, but the question will be there.
I'm just brainstorming. I don't even know what I'd ask. That's the thing. I'm not really ready to go out and try it yet, but I have to think carefully about it.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's... I look back at... at some of my Facebook that I used to do, and I cringed at myself, and I thought, oh my God, why did I bother? Because it must have made people think, my God, this bloke's an absolute nutter, and I started out having getting into arguments with people, and they were never, ever, 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 lots of them going to see. I'd say I've got like 700 friends on Facebook, now that's on the cross section of them, there was just hardly any that would ever really sort of get what I was talking about.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. So on that principle, I thought, actually, I don't want to be putting that in people's faces. But doing it on the street, just asking questions as you go by, it's just interesting for me to hear real people and what they, what they think about certain things. Challenge them a little bit.
I'd like to deputize you and put some thought into it. Get a good microphone. Get a good recorder. I'm looking into the equipment now myself.
Yeah, great psychologist reporting. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure a smartphone is good, and I'm not even sure I want to film people because I'm not sure I want to go through the rigmarole of getting permission, that kind of thing. So
I'm going to strap look. I'm going to sellotape a camera to my shoe. I'm going to go down to the local school.
No, but don't be surreptitious about it.
And, yeah.
I got the idea because I was watching a trucker guy who is he's a big technology guy and he's always buying the newest equipment and it's pretty bland stuff unless you like trucking and moving big equipment. It's not that interesting, but he just bought a GoPro and he started walking around with it. He strapped it to his chest and it's not hidden. He walked in and the girl at the counter says, "Oh, you got a nice," or she just said, "nice GoPro." She knew what it was. But she didn't, he put her on video and whatnot. He was buying something, but I don't think he asked her for permission to put her on the YouTube. She was just a clerk, of course, but it would be interesting if he asked, just could do the same thing. It's unobtrusive, and you get good audio, you get good video, and you can just ask questions. And I don't think anyone would care what you're doing, because it's almost, it's not hidden, but it's not bothersome. Either.
Yeah, it's unobtrusive, and you can interact naturally with them without having to worry about your Neil Armstrong.
Yes, you're not in their face because you're just there. You got this little box on your chest, and I just always like citizen interviews, and it'd be nice if we could just ask a few direct questions that are interesting to fakeologists. That's all. We need some fakeologist reporting. And, you know, I think you're not going to get too many good answers because most people aren't too thoughtful about these topics. You're going to go through a lot of people and get a lot of no ideas or no, I don't know what you're talking about, but you could edit it down to something interesting.
Well, this message self-destructs in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give it a go. I'll have a think.
You get a lot of people, you know, what do you think of conspiracy theories? You know, there's that.
Yeah, that's general. Yeah, that's general. Or you could just ask, what do you think of Trump? Do you think the media lies? And how long do you think they've been lying? And if you do believe they're lying, what do you think they've lied about? They lie about little things, big things, that kind of thing. You could just work up to it, right? You could really.
I should have just filmed all my conversations for the last 10 or 15 years, trying to tell people what you've seen on telly is a fucking play. And you would have loved it. Because honestly, there's about 10 or 15 people that I've not convinced. I've just G'd up. I've just said, come on, you know, catch up. You know, they're still on fucking infinite energy and archons.
Everybody and stuff. Go out and get a GoPro or get a recorder, one or the other. I'm not sure which I want to get. Either, even if you got a GoPro, you could just take the audio if you didn't want to put the video up too.
No, I'm part of me mates. He's got one. I'm going to go and have a walk around the museum and I'm going to insult
I bet
some
a lot of people have GoPros. They don't even use them. You know, once they go underwater with them or skiing and they
he's got a boisterous little lad. So he straps it to his head and his little lad goes in the woods and he says it's brilliant. He comes back and watches it. But there you go.
I don't know how interesting that would be, but.
But yeah, apparently his lad mentally climbs trees and chases fucking deer and things like that. So, you know, but there you go. But yeah, no, nevertheless, the things you could, you've only got to ask a couple of questions just to open people up. And then people actually, you know, they fucking, what they do is they become comfortable and they start opening their own mouths.
Yeah. People want to talk.
Yeah.
People are out desperate to talk. And there's just none of that in the media anymore. They had some of it sometimes, but there isn't any good stuff anymore. It'd be good just to have someone ask from a fakeologist point of view some of our questions. I've noticed that our local media that used to be preeminent media has just descended and degraded and just the worst quality YouTube video channels now. I'm appalled. I'm not surprised because the money's completely gone. These outlets, but it's just the crap they put up on their own YouTube channels is amazingly bad.
So what's going to happen to advertising then? Are they going to take the same amount of stick that they have done in the past? If they don't advertise, they don't sell. Or is it like Pepsi and Coke? They don't need to sell.
They don't need
to advertise.
It's all disappearing. It's a wide open market right now. I think it's, I keep saying this, it's a wide open market. The money, I don't think the money knows where to go now.
Yeah, no, that's a fair comment.
I just don't know. YouTube is doing all kinds of things to try and be a little more proper, and then they're knocking off all these truthers and making their lives miserable. And
I think we can see
backfire on them.
Yeah, no, that's a deliberate that's a controlled demolition. That's exactly what it is. You can see it across the board.
I think YouTube has deputized hundreds of regular blokes and just said anything you don't like, just knock it off. And they made it probably really easy to do too. They probably just flag a guy and then it's like flicking ants. They're probably very easy and very fast and then nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, Felix,
so we're gonna find the sorry Sam.
No, just so Felix mentioned YouTube videos being taken down on a thread today and he posted something in the forums, but he said, yeah, I won't post this video because ones that expose PSYOPs tend to get taken down, and they do. You get quite a lot of good threads that have got quite a few little YouTubes here and there that have just disappeared.
I know. It makes a mess of the forums. What can you do?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to host all these videos.
Yeah, what can you do? And you can't then go back and, you know, it could be integral to a thread. It might be the really little key point that could really change your mind. But yeah, it ruins it. It messes up the threads, you know.
There's nothing you can do. But that is what Google does, though. They get everyone on their platform, and then they blow it up, and then there's no archive anymore. I mean, this is deliberate, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's controllable for darn sure, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, it's all it's amazing. It's remote. You can control this stuff from one fucking central hub. It's incredible, isn't it?
Well, they get everyone on it, and the next thing you know, they blow it up, and It's over. It takes so long to make a video too. That's why I don't do it. It just takes so much effort. That's the only reason I think half these YouTubers are paid, because it takes your whole day. How are you going to feed yourself? You're working on these videos, get taken down. What a waste of time.
People are all just agents anyway, aren't they? The ones that complain about it.
But
I'm pretty sure if you put up something really powerful, it would get taken down. Yeah. I should think. You know.
We're being guided again back to whatever kind of history you want. Now you've got a choice. You know, we've left the atmosphere with this flat earth thing. Now we're being fucking turned right back round. If you are landing flat earth, you can. If you are landing space, you can. If you are landing, you know, as all America, you can. It's same old loop again.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I find it odd that these flat earth channels are going, they're still going strong. Makes you wonder, because they don't even ask for donations, I don't think. So I'm really curious how they can keep going.
I think they're there to bury, but no, I think all these things are better to bury the nuke. We need a scare. There needs to be a scare. And if you got all these people saying nukes don't exist, now all right, yeah, fair enough, you can say that. That's all right. You can say nukes don't exist when there's only, you know, 20 or 30 people or 50 or 60 people listening. When you start saying it over a prolonged period and people start taking note, then all of a sudden this flat earth thing comes out. Now, this flat earth thing, it's been thrown out on purpose. It's not, water doesn't adhere to a ball at the moment, and gravity's bollocks. So, you know, until you can prove that, then the apple's in the air. But it's been thrown out for a reason. You know, whether these questions will ever be answered again, we probably don't know. But this is covering up for a multitude of sins over the past 8 or 10 years, which is probably why Alex Jones was put in there to usher the parade along as fast as it could. I don't know. I really don't know.
Are you saying that...
Nuclear power, Ab, it's coming. There's going to be a new breakthrough somewhere along the line. Something will happen soon. They won't say it's coal. They will use coal or water or whatever they do, but something is coming. They'll do it again. You know, it's just the way it is. It's like Greenpeace. You can't put the rent up unless you clean the place up. We're going to charge you for breathing, right? Clean the place up. Once it's clean as sin, then they can charge you for breathing. And that's just what you're going to get soon. You're going to get they're going to clean the place up. So no petrol, none of this. No higher rents. What's the rent? It's what you breathe. There you go. It's been on the cards for 100 years.
Just from a mainstream point of view, I've always been interested in energy and electricity, and I follow the electric car story pretty big here, because where I live, we're really pushing it hard. So I'm trying to look into it, but it's interesting to me.
Yeah, well, I think coal's still the most efficient at the moment. Is it?
Well, I think hydro, actually, water is the best. I was just in British Columbia. Nice name for a province, I know. And I was looking into their power, and they apparently have 29, nice number, 29 dams that give them all their hydro. So it's all water.
Yeah, that's it. You've got big rivers, big country, big dams.
Big mountains. It's more mountains than anything. They've dammed one river, the Columbia River, which goes, I believe, dumps into Portland, Oregon. I think they've dammed it at least 10 times on its own. And then the U.S. dams it as well once it goes over the border. It's quite fascinating.
That dammed river.
Oh, it's just amazing. So they
great source of power,
It's unlimited. It's unlimited power. The only challenge, I guess, is it's far away from the cities. They have to transmit it over. But it's just interesting, the whole thing.
I live around here, the fields that used to be, there's arable fields. They've always been well known. They used to be underwater in fenland. Then they were drained, and they were very good arable fields for years, growing lettuces, sugar beet, all sorts of things. But now some of the fields, and quite a lot of them you see, are taken over, or actually, perhaps it's done on purpose, by the railway lines. You know, this is when I see them. But they're covered with these mirrors. You know, it's solar powered. They're farming the land with solar now.
I'm into solar too. I'm quite fascinated with that. I think it is reaching a tipping point. And, yeah, it's quite fascinating as well. I think in a place like Australia, where they got tons of room and lots of sun, I think, it will turn their electricity around. Same with Africa too. Imagine if all those Africans had very cheap power. They might be a resource, a human resource.
Well, surely, you know, with the future, so these great sort of, Masonic planners that get together and decide in meetings behind closed doors what should go on with the world. Surely if they've got plans for Africa, you know, a better way of life, a standard of living as we go on into the 21st century. Do you think? You know, I mean, is it getting better in Africa?
We only see a tiny fraction of Africa.
Well, I know a few Africans and they go back for half the year now. And the money they make over here, it goes 10 times farther. So they live like kings over there. So
that's true. I know a couple as well.
Oh yeah. It's, they can, even the Indians that come over here, they go back to India and the money they make over in the Western world, they can hire 5 people to do all the labor.
Yeah. And the Filipino, they just travel abroad to work abroad and then send money back for the family. So they've got a better standard of life. I just wonder if future holds a more equal sort of standard of living, if it's achievable. Do you know what I mean?
No, I think we're being trained to work, aren't we? That's all it is. Just being trained
At the same time, optimum, you know, they still want us to work and then have enough relaxation and some quality of life because we'd just be better workers.
They need to keep up the charade. No doubt they need to keep a certain amount of money coming in so they can siphon it off on a weekly basis. But nevertheless, the only way you can carry on with these things is by, making sure that the companies carry on. You know, the system needs, you know, companies. So there's going to come a point when it bottlenecks and nothing, you know, there's no more progress. People don't get to it. And then.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
And then once you get to that point.
Well, I think that was the whole point of China. They're turning a billion farmers into consumers. I think that's really happening, and it is working.
That's till
a lot of money. And I think a lot of I think the only problem with the West is it drags, when all the jobs disappear on the bottom, it just leaves a whole group of people without anything to do, and it's a very dangerous situation.
No, well, I think what it is, and this is my opinion, obviously, fakeologist.com.
Right.
My opinion is this is what we're seeing is the first draft America, and it's going into debt, but it's the one they've invested money in all this. I think China, like you say, that's the second draft. That's working. I think that's working. It's not a problem. But I think what we're looking at with America is literally that's the first draft gone wrong. The people, the blue bloods are in there, and they're the ones that are siphoning off, and that's why you're seeing. I don't know. I think that's maybe why they're mocking to promote the China model. I don't know. I really have no idea. But I know exactly what you mean because there are two different models, and the China one is working.
Well, he dropped off. Which is what I always seem to feel like I'm doing when I come in these audio chats. It's so late and I'm just sort of half.
Yeah, well, I'm going by myself in a minute.
Zal's here.
Hi, Zal.
He's in the chat. Anyway, I see him. No, he hasn't dropped in the room yet. He's just writing something in the chat, or he was. But yeah, Tim's obviously fallen off the edge of the world, such as the...
He's not fired off what I'm saying there, Tom, is it? You know what I mean? What we're seeing in America was the old system. We're sort of seeing the refined system in other countries now. You know, you can sort of tell that a little bit.
The refined system.
Or maybe the training's a little bit more better.
About China. I see a parallel in China. They've got a space race now, you know. And now they're having their, you know...
They also got all their physicists and scientists.
20th century industrialization.
Yeah, they had all their schooling. They've got all the same charades going on. All the same jackasses.
It's just sort of...
Yeah. But they've been sold.
Who's leading who? America leading the rest of the world? I think they definitely are. they're leading for the big sort of.
But it's not a case. It's not even. It never drops down. It's not even a case of going back to the Jesuits or the Jews. This is different. This is, like I say, this is next level.
It feels, doesn't it? It feels. Yeah. It is only a sort of in our heads that America, in quotes, is leading the world. You know what I mean? It's the narrative, really, isn't it? Yeah, it's the narrative.
Well, I mean, we could end all this now. We could end it all just by turning off your TV. You know, if everyone turned off the telly.
Turn off the TV, didn't buy a newspaper.
Yep.
And but then you see, you'd have to get you some money out of the bank or something. You'd have to talk to, you'd have to find out what was going on.
Well, somewhere. Maybe.
You wouldn't have any say in what was going on. I'm just thinking out loud. So what do you
think? Do we anyway?
You've got to pay your bills, though. You've got to go to work.
Well, you know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying stop watching. Stop paying attention to it.
Yeah, well, that is true. I mean, stop taking it seriously anyway.
Yeah. Well, once you take it seriously, get serious.
It's the television. It's amusing. It's interesting. But it's not real.
No. Not so. Yeah. What's the first thing a solicitor does when he comes in your house? What's the first thing a solicitor does, or the first thing a policeman does when he comes in your house? Turns the telly off.
Does he?
Yeah, that's what they do. Come in, turn it off. Everyone does it. Every professional does it. Could they walk in and turn it off? Can you turn it off, please? Why do they do that? Because they're expressing information. But they're told. No, they're told. These are government people told to turn it off when you walk in a place.
Yes. This is stuff we, you know, makes complete sense. So, yeah. Turning off. I mean, my daughter, she's 13. She's, you know, she's, or you want her to do the right thing. I don't want her to be sort of go down a bad track, but I watched a massive amount of TV growing up. Massive amount of TV, loads of it. So, you know, it's only because I did that and I understand to a certain extent how indoctrinated I was and how sort of, you know, I learned a lot from it, you know. So, do I say to her, turn it off? I don't really. I just put into her mind,
I don't think you should. I don't think you should. I think, like what we did, I'm going to say I'm using this on generic term. We were the new generation exposed to TV. A lot of people who were 60 say they got the 60s commercials, and they did. But we got the more refined ones. So from the ages 1975 to 1985, that was hit and miss. Things were advertised on the weirdest level. Every other advert was a drink. Every other advert was a cigarette. There's not many of us that come out of this not trying the cigarette, having a drink before the age of 18. Same with all the toys. So, no, but the adverts now, you see, they're totally harmful. It's either a McDonald's advert, something that's going to, you know, kill you, you know, makeup, which adds to all this, testing animals, crap. Then you get vegans. Now vegans have gone fucking ballistic. Now being vegan means you know karate. What is that about? Do you know what I mean? Certain adverts nowadays, they're triggering people. And that's all we see. Oh, stop it. Stop this. Sexual aggression works. No. Like people say nowadays, keep your mouth shut and you walk out of work. That's no place to work. That's Stalag 17. So, you can see something that's obtrusive on an advert or doesn't make you feel right. And yet, if you say the same thing that you've seen on an advert in the workplace, you end up getting done for it. No. We're living in a fucking weird society. So people need to keep watching telly, but don't watch it with the same eye that they watched it with the day before when they believed it. Because, like I say, whatever, if you go into court and say, I seen it on telly, he'll laugh his ass off at you. Say, why do you believe anything on telly? So if a judge is saying that to you, then, you know, it's inadmissible. You know, so do not believe it.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, watch it. But, you know, but it's hard to not fall into the trap. Kids get given tablets now to play with, don't they?
Yeah. Here's Zal is in here now. Zal is here. A towel.
A towel.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right, mate, how are
you? Yeah. But I'm tired. I've had a headache all day. Dehydrated headache.
Cool, guys. I'm sorry. I just got an... Just give me 1 minute. I just got a crazy email, so hold on a second. Okay?
Yes, excuse me for, yes. So I was just going to say, I'm kind of, it's your bedtime as well, isn't it?
It certainly is, my mate. Yeah, but we can't just disregard town, so we'll just give it a sec.
Because I've got, yeah, give them 5 minutes or something, but I'm absolutely, I think I said
that. I'm up at 5:33, my friend, and it's 11 minutes past midnight now, so don't worry, I'll be going back soon.
Sorry about that, guys. No, I got an email and I just had to respond to it. So, hey, so what were you guys talking about? I heard Tom talking about his 13-year-old daughter and explaining something to her. I guess I caught in at the tail end of what you guys were talking about.
I was just talking about the idea of, I mean, I've got a 13-year-old daughter, and Den was talking about just turn the TV off stop this.
Yeah, pretty much riffing. He was saying, how can I keep my daughter from not watching TV, and I'm saying, don't let, you know, it's not a case of stopping her watching TV, just let her know that a lot of the stuff that she sees on TV, she couldn't say in the real world nowadays. That's the way society's going. There's certain things nowadays that you can't say for whatever reason or another, racist, sexist, bigoted, whatever it is. And yet we see the same, what's the word, aspirations being pushed for. So you'll see a girl trying to look sexy, you'll see a fella there eating a beef burger, or a tubby guy. So, it's a tubby guy eating a beef burger. You'll see a guy having a drink at a bar. So, there's everything that's being advertised on telly is, pretty much, you can't say anything in the workplace. So that's where we're up to there. So he's got a 13-year-old daughter there. Now I'm saying turn the tellies off all over the world. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, I mean, that is actually a really good question. Like, what do you do? Some of my friends I know only let their kids watch stuff. Well, obviously she's 13 years old, so she's got to watch whatever she wants because of social media and all that other stuff, right? So it's like a whole new ballgame. It's not even matters what's on TV. It's, she's getting it to her phone or she's getting it to her email account. What I'm saying? She's going to get information anyway. So it's basically arming her with critical thinking skills is probably the best way of, right? I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting time. I mean, having a 13-year-old, that's an interesting time. I don't know, Tom. That's...
Yeah, it's a formative. And it's growing up is difficult, isn't it? It's tricky. We've got conflicting, you're bombarded with everything. I mean, you particularly, but certainly someone that would call themselves gay and growing up in our society, which is still where it's certainly stigmatized to a certain extent or there's conflicting attitudes towards that. But that's just one question of forming our own identity as we reach adulthood. Of many, isn't it? We're just bombarded with everything. The media is just, and I was saying to Denny, really, I wouldn't have learned about it if I hadn't experienced it. So I don't think we have to be so scared of it, in some sort of ways. If you're clever enough, you'll see through it. You'll survive it, I think. You can watch TV and soak up some popular culture. It's not so bad,
Well, I mean, I guess you could say, too, like that, you know how to arm yourself and how to deal with the information that they give you through that, through the platform, through social media and the TV. So it's almost like you can educate your daughter the same way that you've educated yourself on how to protect yourself from that information, right? Mm-hmm. I think about it, too, and, I know Vadir has children and they're, they're late teens, now early 20s. And, I'm not speaking for her or whatever, but I mean, I think she's done a pretty good job of having well-adjusted children who are also quite aware of how easily people are manipulated with just things on social media and TV, So, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm waffling on about it. Forming much of my opinions very clearly probably, but it is a really big question, and it's interesting, isn't it, for us with this new perspective perhaps, and look and say, well, crumbs, what do you say to your, do you take them out of schooling and then, you don't have to, I don't think, I suppose I'm saying, yeah, I mean, you've got to learn to know how to get by in this society that we're in. I don't think it's going to change very quickly. And to survive within it and be happy,
Have you always been, I'm sorry. I was just going to ask you, Tom, have you been, I don't know if you have, but are you a person that always welcomed people to challenge your beliefs? Is that kind of maybe how you were earlier in life? Or were you kind of set in your ways?
No, I wouldn't say I was set in my ways. Open-minded. Always open-minded, I think.
So you had opinions. You had opinions, but you were open to opinions that were different than yours, I'm sure.
Yes, yeah, definitely. And I was thinking, well, yes, you'd want to be, the clever thing would be open to that, because then that may be the right one, and you need to respect that. But I think how I got to where I am, I did always reach for the spectacular. You know, I was looking for, something out there to an extent. That's what appealed to me, that fascinated me. There was something else going on, and I was trying to find it always, you know. There was more to it than going on than I was being told, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, I honestly think if you do half of the work that you've done in your life to figure out how much we all can easily be manipulated through those kind of venues, I think your daughter's going to probably be a very well-adjusted child, you know.
I hope so. I hope so.
I don't know. I guess. Sorry, this thing seems unmoving. Yeah, I think, as long as you challenge her, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong. I mean, I don't know, I just always feel like it's something that not every child's that way, obviously. Every child, you know, your child can be, I'm very different than my parents, you know, so obviously everyone can be different, but, you know.
Hi, this is OBF, and you are listening to the wonderful Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.